build-up and breakthrough. Credit for the terms build-up and breakthrough should go to David S. Landis and his book, The Wealth and Poverty of Nations, Why Some Are So Rich and Some So Poor, New York, W.W. Norton & Company, 1998. On page 200, Landis writes, "The question is really twofold. First, why and how did any country break through the crust of habit and conventional knowledge to this new mode of production? Turning to the first, I would stress build-up, the accumulation of knowledge and know-how, and breakthrough, reaching and passing thresholds." When we read this paragraph, we noted its applicability to our study and decided to adopt these terms in describing the Good to Great companies. The flywheel image captures the overall feel of what it was like inside the companies as they went from good to great. No matter how dramatic the end result, the good to great transformations never happened in one fell swoop. There was no single defining action, no grand program, no one killer innovation, no solitary lucky break, no wrenching revolution. Good to great comes about by a cumulative process. Step by step, action by action, decision by decision, turn by turn of the flywheel, that adds up to sustained and spectacular results. Yet to read media accounts of the companies, you might draw an entirely different conclusion. Often, the media does not cover a company until the flywheel is already turning at 1,000 rotations per minute. This entirely skews our perception of how such transformations happen, making it seem as if they jumped right to breakthrough as some sort of an overnight metamorphosis. For example, on August 27, 1984, Forbes magazine published an article on Circuit City. It was the first national-level profile ever published on the company. It wasn't that big of an article, just 2 pages, and it questioned whether Circuit City's recent growth could continue. Still, there it was, the first public acknowledgement that Circuit City had broken through. The journalist had just identified a hot new company, almost like an overnight success story. This particular overnight success story, however, had been more than a decade in the making. Alan Wurzel had inherited CEO responsibility from his father in 1973, with the firm close to bankruptcy. First, he rebuilt his executive team and undertook an objective look at the brutal facts of reality, both internal and external. In 1974, still struggling with a crushing debt load, Wurzel and his team began to experiment with a warehouse showroom style of retailing. Large inventories of name brands, discount pricing, and immediate delivery, and build a prototype of this model in Richmond, Virginia, to sell appliances.